As one way to pay for a proposed $54 billion increase in the Defense Department's budget, the Trump administration has proposed to slash the State Department's funding in 2017. As much as military officials say they could use that extra money, several of them are uncomfortable with the idea of getting it from the nation's diplomacy and development functions. Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu writes about that in this week's edition of Inside the DoD Reporter's Notebook. And Jared, this has been an ongoing battle, but the difference is for many years it was plus-ups for the State Department that they were arguing for. I guess maybe nothing's changed.
Yeah, and you do have to listen a little bit carefully, I think, Tom, to hear these concerns from the generals and other senior leaders in the Defense Department, because these days when they are out in public talking about budget matters writ large, so much of their energy is focused on the fact that DoD itself, they say, needs some near-term funding. At least certainty, if not a plus up, you know, a continuing resolution, they say, would be in effect a budget cut. It would leave money in the wrong places. You'd start to see really serious readiness problems. But when asked, usually by Democrats in congressional hearing type settings, they do tend to stick up for the State Department, usually in the context of, look, we can't accomplish all of our national security missions with military power all by itself. And oh, by the way, we really depend on diplomacy for a lot of the, you know, capacity building and a lot of the other functions that we do in a military sense. General Paul Selva, the vice chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, is the latest of several of these generals to talk in those kinds of terms. He was asked about potential State Department cuts at an Air Force Association event late last week. And he says this notion that national security is not just a matter for the military is especially true when it comes to violent extremism in the Middle East.
I have said publicly, I'm on the record, we cannot kill our way out of this problem. Violent extremism will exist as long as the foundational elements for violent extremism exist. And they are generally bad governance, disenfranchised populations, corruption, and police departments that show a bias to one side of that equation or the other. That's a gross generalization, but it covers a good bit of the waterfront. None of those things are things the Defense Department is good at fixing. And so the soft power part of our enterprise, the State Department, that lays out the diplomatic strategies, that builds the relationships, that does have tools to build governance, that does have tools to build institutions, we've got to pay pretty close attention to their value. But I am concerned, and I've expressed that concern, that if we make hard power the way the United States is perceived worldwide, then our soft power will atrophy. And we'll actually have to rebuild the institutions we spent so much time building to be able to do that work.
And again, General Paul Selva, the vice chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. But again, Tom, he is certainly not the only top DoD official to speak in those sorts of terms lately. We heard very similar comments just a couple weeks ago from General Curtis Scaparotti, the commander of U.S. European Command, who really argued that, you know, the State Department and the U.S.'s overall diplomatic and development functions are really integral to building partner capacity within Europe. And the quote that Democrats like to point to a lot is by James Mattis, who's now the defense secretary, obviously. But back in 2013, when he was running CENTCOM, he said, if you don't fund the State Department fully, then I need to buy more ammunition, ultimately. So, again, the latest comments coming from General Paul Selva, but he's certainly not the only DoD official who wants to stick up for state at this moment when they're looking at a potential 30% budget cut in 2018, rather.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu, and it sounds like when they say development money, they're also talking about foreign aid, as well as the State Department's direct budget, which is also something the Trump administration has threatened to cut pretty severely.
Certainly foreign aid, USAID, obviously a part of that, you know, overall diplomatic functions performed by the State Department. And the severity of those cuts, I think, is one reason why you have seen a fair amount of congressional opposition, not just from Democrats, but from folks like John McCain and Lindsey Graham. So I think in the end, it's going to be difficult to get through a 30% cut in State Department funding. But on the other end of the spectrum, you have folks like Chris Murphy, a Democrat from Connecticut, who introduced a plan last week that would go completely in the other direction. He argues that, you know, if you want to improve U.S. national security, you really ought to be doubling the State Department's budget at this point in time. He knows that's politically unrealistic right now, but his basic point is if we can afford an extra $50 billion for the Defense Department, which he supports, by the way, you also need to plus up state by $50 billion as well, because he thinks a lot of these diplomatic functions have atrophied over the years. Here's just a brief clip of Chris Murphy.
Now, we pay lip service to standing up new capacities to meet these new threats. But it's largely just that, lip service. Military and intelligence spending still outpaces diplomacy and development spending by a 20-to-1 margin. 20-to-1. Think about it this way. We have more people working at military grocery stores today than we have diplomats in the State Department.
And again, to your point about foreign aid, Tom, a report that his office issued last week points out that foreign aid is at basically a 60-year low, just 0.2% of GDP right now, compared to 3% in the middle of the Marshall Plan. So his plan, he terms it a Marshall Plan for the 21st century.
And the one person we haven't heard from is the Secretary of State himself.
Yeah, we have heard from him a little bit, but not much in terms of defending the State Department budget. Literally nothing from Rex Tillerson. He seems pretty willing to go along with what the administration has proposed. Not much of a defender, at least in terms of funding.
And Jared, you're also writing about a nuts and bolts issue this week for the military, which is that lawmakers, once again, they're looking at those per diem cuts that were made. Some in Congress want to put them back.
Yeah, it's sort of amazing that these cuts have survived in their current form for as long as they have. These first went into effect in November of 2014, and they're substantial cuts. What DOD did is part of a spate of things that they were trying to do to cut back on travel expenditures is for long-term TDY assignments, temporary duty assignments. They decided that you don't need the full per diem allowance that you would normally get if you're going somewhere for 2 or 3 days. So it sliced it back by 25%. So you only get 75% of the standard rate if you're staying somewhere for 30 days or longer. If you're staying for 180 days or longer, it goes all the way back to 55%. The rationale, of course, is, you know, if you're staying for somewhere that long, you ought to be able to find a furnished apartment or an extended stay hotel, which is going to be cheaper than paying, you know, a standard, even government negotiated hotel rate night after night for 180 days. That was the rationale at the time. But labor unions particularly say things have not worked out that well, because in a lot of the places where federal employees are sent for extended periods of time, they just have not been able to find lower cost options. So they're either having to stay in what they say are substandard housing, or just pay out of their own pockets to you know, stay in places that actually accommodate their needs. So as you indicated, a congressional bill back up on the Hill within the last couple of weeks would completely roll back those cuts. This is the third year in a row that a bill like this has been introduced, but so far it's not been able to get through. It did pass the House last year, but got watered down in the Senate with language that basically just said the secretary of any military department can, on a case-by-case basis, restore the full per diem amount. But so far, Congress has not succeeded in getting these rolled back, or at least advocates of rolling them back in Congress have not been able to persuade their colleagues that it ought to be done.
Sounds like a great opportunity to establish a worldwide agreement with Airbnb.
There you go. And that's a great question, actually, and something that I've never thought of. I wonder if that is something that the Defense Department or any other federal agency has explored through their travel offices. Because when I travel, yeah, absolutely, that's what I do when I stay for somewhere for an extended period of time. And just about everywhere, there's got to be houses that you can rent for short periods.
Yeah, it can be an adventure, unlike a Marriott, let's put it that way.
That's right.
Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu, as always, thanks so much for that update.
Thanks, Tom.
Check out his DOD notebook now online at federalnewsradio.com.